Once there was a kingdom, and in this kingdom, there were several cities, and one was the prized city, the beloved city. But this city had many citizens, and there was a good king, and he had laws put in place to protect the people living inside of his kingdom. And when those laws were obeyed, people were happy, they were running around, they were enjoying life in the kingdom, in this city. But one day, a usurper came along, and he began going around to the people and saying, "You know that king that you think is really good? You know all these laws that he's put over you? He's holding out on you. There is a goodness, there's something wonderful that he is holding back from you. And he's put these laws in place to make you think he's looking out for you. But all he's trying to do is stomp on you and oppress you. If you join me, we can overthrow this king and we'll start a new kingdom where you get to do whatever you want. You get to live life the way you want to live." And after weeks and weeks of going around, spreading these rumors about the king, talking about all this stuff, he got the citizens of the city to join with him. And when the king went away on a trip, the citizens locked the gates behind him. They overpowered the guards, they locked the gates behind him, and they said, "Revolution! All right? We're starting something new here today. Every man is going to live according to the way that he wants to live." And the usurper said, "I'll lead you guys. I'll show you guys how to do this, living however you want to live." And at first, everybody really enjoyed it. It was like, you know, the rules that had been set in place, man, they tore those up and threw them away. And everyone said, "We're going to have more fun. We're going to be better. We're going to enjoy life more than we did in the past." But after a few weeks of this, they began to realize that they were destroying their own city. There was vandalism, there was looting, because somebody wanted something that somebody else had. And he said, "Well, if our new law is, I do what I want, I'm going to take it. Somebody was married to the girl that I wanted to marry, so I went out and I took her. Somebody had a horse that I really liked. I've been envying that horse for a long time, so I went and got it." And after a while, the buildings began to become dilapidated. Businesses shut down. The city went backwards. And rather than finding freedom, they found that this new usurper actually turned out to be quite the taskmaster once he got onto his throne. He had promised them liberty, he promised them freedom, but every time they tried to act out their freedom, he attached another chain. And slowly but surely, all of the people in the city became not free men, but servants and slaves. And they were building his palace. They were making him happy. And rather than making themselves happy, it was worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. They exchanged the king for a taskmaster. Well, when the king returned, he came and he found the gates closed. And he called out to the city and he said, "What happened? I went away for a little while. What has happened here?" He saw a new flag flying over the castle. And the citizens of the city stood on the walls and looked down at their king, who was standing outside, and said, "Well, it's a revolution. We're all living the way we want to live." And the king said, "Are you really? Are you really? Or have you just exchanged a king for a taskmaster? Have you just exchanged my ways for chains?" And the king looked up and he shed a tear. And as the people stood on the walls watching their king cry, they said, "Maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we've done something wrong." So they decided, "Well, I have an idea. Let's overpower the taskmaster. Let's put him out of the city. Let's have another revolution. Let's revolutionize the revolution." So they get together, they meet together, and they're coming up with all their plans about how they're going to overthrow the taskmaster. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, his men clothed in black break into the meeting, break it up, put in prison all of those who are scheming and plotting, and the meeting is broken up. And this happens repeatedly. Then eventually, finally, some of them get together and they decide, all right, we're going to overpower him. We just got to get in there and overpower him. They attempt to break into the keep and capture him. They're overpowered themselves. They have no power to overcome his guards and those who are standing with the taskmaster. Because during this time, he's grown stronger and stronger and stronger. And there is no possible way that the citizens themselves can overcome their taskmaster. So finally, one of them says, our only hope is to surrender. The king by this time has now laid siege to the city. He's come back to get what is his. And the people have a choice. Either they wait out the siege, probably starve and are destroyed, or they have to open the gates and let the king back in. Open the gates and let the king back in to what is his. So that night, the guards fall asleep, because that's what guards do. And the guards fall asleep. The citizens open the gates. They welcome the king back in. The king comes in, and he takes back what is rightfully his. He overthrows the usurper, locks him in chains, and now he's king again. And the people are ready for their sentence. But lo and behold, the son of the king takes the sentence of those who are in the city and deserved it. So the conquered ones actually are restored. What a good king. Now this is kind of a parable for our life. You know, we all, at one time or another, felt we know what's best for our lives. I know what I need to do to be happy. And that might have been counter to what God wanted. And we allowed Satan to take over. In the Garden of Eden, we see this the story play out. And it's the story that happens, you know. Satan comes and he says to Eve, you know, God, in so many words, he says, God is holding out on you. God has something good, but he's holding it back. He's withdrawing it from you. He does not want you to have it. And he tricks her into thinking that the God who is good, the God who is loving, the king who wants what is best for his creation, actually is holding back. And actually doesn't want them to have it. So now the only way to become conquerors, to become reconciled to God, is actually to be conquered. We have to be overwhelmed and conquered by the one that we rejected. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says this, but thanks be to God in Christ, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Does anybody have a different translation of that? Verse 14? Yeah, what does it say? Anybody got another one? Sam. Yeah. So that says it right there. who leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. The word that Paul is using here, it describes when a Roman general would go out and conquer a territory. He would come back and he would parade into the city, and he would have all of his captives strung out behind him. All these people that he had conquered, the kings and the leaders, the tribal leaders, he would have them strung out behind him. And as he rode into the city, he would declare, "These are the people that I have conquered." And Paul is numbering himself among those who have been conquered. He's saying, "Thanks be to God that I am numbered among the conquered, numbered among those who Christ has defeated. And he's leading me on in his triumphal procession. I have been defeated by Christ." Wow, that doesn't sound like what we were talking about last week, where we're saying, you know, in Christ we are more than conquerors. We overcome. We overcome. But in order to become those more than conquerors, we have to realize that first of all, we start off on the wrong side. We start off with the wrong heart. We start off with the wrong motives. And the only way that we can be found in Christ is, first of all, we have to say, "I'm lost. I'm sinful. My motives are off. God, I need to be conquered by you first and foremost." You know, I have a few brothers, and sometimes we would have conflicts. Sometimes. But you know, do you know how it is when you have, so you got a brother, and your brother is wrong. He's wrong as anything. And you're determined, "I must prove to my brother that he is wrong." But the thing about brothers is, we're not going to admit that we're wrong. Even if partway through the argument we realize, "Wow, I'm really wrong." We still, for the sake of saving face, you got to continue. Even if you're convinced that you're dead wrong, you got to continue going, "Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but," and you're butting heads and just going crazy. Well, one year I discovered something. If I just walk away, eventually, if my brothers are wrong, which, you know, they always were, but if my brothers were wrong, eventually they would come to me and they would say, "You know what, I realize I was wrong." But, or I would have to go and I would have to say, "You know what, I realized I was wrong. That was wrong of me." So it doesn't help to fight and fight and fight and fight when you're fighting on the wrong side. You know, the whole never give up, never surrender, never give in. Well, what happens if you're dead wrong in what you're fighting for? Sam still says, "Never give up." Yeah. We were dead wrong. And Paul sees Christ's conquering of us as an act of mercy. He sees it as a wonderful thing. "I have been conquered by God. Thanks be to God. I am numbered among his captives. Thanks be to him." Wow. So a little bit different from like the Alamo, right? Just stay there until you die. Paul says, "No, I was in the wrong." Unconditional surrender. We are the conquered ones. Having realized our depravity, we, through the Holy Spirit, we are willing to even be prisoners of this good God. We have been overwhelmed by who God actually is. And rather than continuing to resist him, we say, "That's it, I'm done. I don't want to fight you anymore. Have your way. Be my Lord." Go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul gives almost the same image here. But look at what he says. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll start in verse 8. I'll start in verse 7. "But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. There's this shocking paradox here, where Christ has conquered death, he's conquered man, he's conquered our sinfulness, and he's leading us in this triumphal procession. And then he turns around and starts giving gifts to us. What a good conqueror, right? Which is why we should be fine with being conquered by this guy. You know, I was having a conversation with someone this week, and we were talking about, you know, the church. And I was saying, you know what? Absolute surrender. That is the one thing that the church needs more than anything. Absolute surrender. We have to realize that this God is not trying to destroy you by asking you to do something. How many of you guys have ever resisted or fought with God over something? All right? Yes. Me, sometimes daily. All right? You fight with Him. You feel the Holy Spirit nudging you, pushing you to do something. Something you need to give up. Some practice that you've been just, oh, this is what I do. And the Holy Spirit is nudging you, pushing you, sometimes gently, sometimes not so gently. Sometimes you feel physically sick when you're fighting with Him. Any of you ever had that? I've had it where I felt physically sick from resisting God. He's asking me to go to somebody, talk to somebody, you know, share the gospel with somebody, or just, you know, give something up. And I have felt physically sick fighting the Holy Spirit. It's like it says in Hebrews, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, as they did in the rebellion. And then later it says, because I swore in my wrath that they would not enter into my rest. If you're hearing His voice and resisting, you will not enter into His rest. You will enter into continual restlessness. Until finally you admit and throw down your arms and say, conquer me. Not like Leonidas said when he was told, throw down your arms, said, come and get them. Right? We say, here they are. I'm done. I'm done fighting. Because you're a good conqueror. You're a good God. And thanks be to you if I can be part of your triumphal procession. One more verse here. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. I like to call this the great bait and switch of Scripture. All right. And calling the crowd to Him, this is chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. And calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to them, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for My sake and the Gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of Me and of My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when He comes in the glory of His Father with His holy angels. I call this the great bait and switch because Satan tells us, come after Me and you'll find your life. Come find your life. Come find life. Come on. It's great. It'll be better. And then you get there and you find death. You find emptiness. You find brokenness. Whereas Christ says, come to Me and I promise you death. Come to Me and you will be conquered. Come to Me and you will have to crucify yourself daily. Deny yourself day by day by day. But in the end, you'll actually find real life. In seeking Me through My death, through the cross, which we kind of spiritualize that, you know, we've grown kind of immune to it. Because we don't have people being crucified in public squares day by day these days. But through the cross, through this weapon of torture and torment, he says, you're actually going to find life. You're going to find real life. You're going to find abundant life, true life, and not just this fake, temporary, glossy life. It's a great bait and switch. Satan says, life, here is life, and then you find death. Christ says, here is death. Here is dying to yourself every single day. And in the end, you find life. In the end, you find resurrection power and transformation. The ultimate switcheroo. The only way to become a conqueror is to be conquered. The only way to find freedom is to surrender. The only way to find life is to die. The only way to find healing is from being broken in front of the cross. So I have a challenge for us as a church today. Will we throw open the gates? Will we lay down our arms and surrender? Will we say, God, you are God and I am not? God, you are on the right side and I am not. God, I have resisted you. I have fought you. I have tried to shut you out. But I'm done. I open the gates to you now. I want you to rule and reign. I tried ruling and reigning on myself. Didn't really work. I found that I was a slave to a worse taskmaster. Will you come to the cross, the instrument of death, and find real life? I truly believe that the church, we the church, if we are not living in full surrender to God, we cannot be the church that God has called us to be. We can't. Because he says it right there. He says, if you want to find real life, you have to crucify yourself. You have to surrender. And this doesn't just come at salvation. He says there daily. You have to daily crucify yourself. That means it's not a one-time thing like, well, I prayed a prayer when I was 7. Now I'm surrendered for the rest of my life. He says daily because he knows our tendency is to begin building walls, closing gates, and saying, God, you can have this part, but over here, don't touch this. This is mine. God wants us to open every single door, every single gate, and invite him into every single part. And when he is Lord of all, man, the church can be effective. When he has the people that we're not controlled by our stuff, we're not controlled by our fears, our apprehension, but we're controlled by the Holy Spirit and we're useful tools in the hands of God. I was reading Andrew Murray this week, an old-time pastor down in South Africa, and he said, I'm writing right now with a pen, and this pen is completely surrendered to my will. How well would I be able to write if all of a sudden my pen rebelled and fought back? Like, the typist would have a hard time deciphering it, you know. We have to be fully surrendered to be useful to God. We must be fully surrendered. Let's all stand together. Two things this morning. Maybe you're here and you've never surrendered to God. You said, that's God, that's his ideas, whatever. I want to live my life my way. How's that working for you? Are you finding real life? Or if we stripped away all the fun and the facade, would we find emptiness and brokenness? If you're here today and you've been fighting God for years, maybe you grew up and you heard the gospel, you knew about it, you knew the story, I want to challenge you today to let Him in. Let Him in and watch real life flood over you. I know you're scared. You'll have to give some stuff up, you say, but it's so worth it. God is so worth it. Being alive and being made whole again, it's worth it. I would encourage you today to open those gates. I'll come back to that in a moment. The second thing is, if you're here today and you've been walking with God, you committed your life to Him many years ago, but since then, you've decided to become your own master. And maybe you call Him Lord, you call Him Savior, but in reality, the gates of your life have been closed to Him. And you've said, not this area, can't touch that. I want to invite you today to open those gates, reopen those gates. Make a commitment to lay everything at the foot of His cross. And I mean everything. Your reputation, your good name, your material possessions, your choices, your future. I want to invite you today to lay that at the foot of His cross. I know we need this. I need this. I need to day by day be laying everything at His feet. Join me in praying. Dear God, we want to come before You right now. As a people, as those who are called by Your name, Christians. And we want to give everything we have to You. Lord, as an act of surrender, we hold our hands up before You. We extend our hands before You and we say, God, take control of everything. Lord, we hold nothing back from You. Holy Spirit, come and work in our hearts, work in our lives. We don't want to be our own masters anymore. We don't want to be slaves anymore to another taskmaster. We want to be led in Your triumphal procession as those who have been conquered by You, who have allowed You in to be the King of everything and the Lord of all. Just take a moment and deal with God. Talk with God. If there's something you've been holding back, some fear that's been controlling you, some sinful practice you need to let go, or maybe it's not even a sinful practice, but it's become an idol to you. And God is calling upon you to let that go, to release it, so that He can be Lord of your life. So that He can be the one who controls you and moves you. Just take a moment and talk with Him. God, thank You that You are the good King, the good conqueror that we can trust, Lord. So we entrust these things to you. And Lord, I pray that the things that we've laid at your feet today, you would help us through your Holy Spirit not to take them up again, but to lay them and leave them there, Lord. God, now I pray for this church. Lord, I pray for blessing upon them in the weeks to come. I pray that you would keep them, that you would watch over them, that your face would shine upon them, Lord. That you would help us to hear what you want us to hear and to do what you want us to do, God. To walk in obedience to you, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. If you're here today and you've fought with God for years and you don't want to surrender to Him, or you haven't wanted to, if you right now want to throw open those gates to Him, I'd encourage you to come up. Myself and the pastoral support team will be up here. If you want to pray today to accept Jesus Christ, not just with words, but you want to make Him the Lord of your life, the King of all that you are, I'd invite you to come on up. We'll be up here praying. And anyone else who needs prayer for anything, you're welcome to come up as well. We invite you. Our service has ended. Thank you guys so much for coming. And we'll see you guys downstairs.